Is that all right, Lauren? I was told to step right up and speak up and then sit down, huh? Thank you so much for being here. I've been looking forward to our time together, and I've decided with this first little segment that we'll have, we'll just start with what we're going to finish up with by the Family Bible Hour. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 12. We'll read the first 11 verses of John chapter 12. And with those who are out, I'm glad Nancy and I could come and beef up the numbers today a little bit. And, actually, it was hard for me to get Nance to come because Nate Bramson is speaking at BBC this morning. And so this morning she said, I'm going to go with you to Fairbluff. I said, well, thank you so much. She said, I wouldn't want to miss seeing anybody over there. So anyway, I'm glad you're here because that's the reason she's here. The Gospel of John chapter 12, we're going to look at lessons we learn around the table. John 12, 1 says, and I'm using the New King James translation. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Verse 3, then Mary took a pound of costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii? And given to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Verse 9. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. We trust that God adds his best blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray once more together. Our Father, we thank and praise you for the privilege you've given us to meet together, to remember our Savior, and now to open your word, to read it, and ask that you would work in our lives according to your will, by the power of your Spirit, according to your word, we pray, in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lessons we learn around the table. Now, I'm not talking about lessons like don't talk with food in your mouth, or take all you want, eat all you take, those kinds of lessons around the table. We're talking about lessons we learn around the table in a spiritual realm of fellowship. Now, we've been meeting with the Lord at a table of remembrance. Here we read about a table that was for supper, but there are those that are around this table that just by looking at their lives and the things we've read in these 11 verses, we find 7 different lessons that should speak to our lives spiritually. I think it's good to start out the first Sunday of 2022. And yes, Lauren, that's been a fast year, hasn't it, 2021? It seems like it was hardly here. You know, they told me that would happen as you got older. I'll let you know. Well, no, it is happening, isn't it? So it's a shocker, isn't it, how fast time goes. But as we stand at the beginning of 2022, why not learn lessons from biblical characters that we might see them applied to our lives so that we can kind of get our pace for this fast coming year, 2022. The very first is a lesson we're going to learn from Lazarus. And he's, of course, mentioned to us there in verse 1, where Lazarus was who had been dead. And I'm glad to tell you that as we look at these characters, these 7 different ones, we should be able to relate or learn something from all of them. Someone said, you can learn something from anyone, even if it's what not to do. But we learn some good, solid, positive characteristics from someone like Lazarus, and I'm glad to tell you that today I know for Lazarus, everyone here will be able to relate to Lazarus in one way or another. Let me explain. The first thing we see about Lazarus in verse 1 is that he had been dead. Now, of course, he's speaking of his physical life. He died. You remember how the whole thing came about? He was sick. They sent word to the Lord Jesus, him whom thou lovest is sick. And he delayed or waited, and he died in the process. He died a real death physically. He was buried. And the Lord Jesus went. The fact that he was dead also reminds us of the spiritual application that we can relate to. In fact, if you hold your place in John 12 and open a few pages down to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, this little thing about Lazarus seems to just follow a parallel to what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us for our lives spiritually. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, as we're talking about Lazarus who had been dead, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Oh, so I can relate to Lazarus and the fact that he died and I was dead. My sins had separated me from a holy God, and I was in desperate need of life. I needed one who could make me alive again. And so we come now to the rest of verse 1. At the end of the verse, it says, "whom he had raised from the dead." He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will not die. And even though he die, shall live again. And when the Lord Jesus told Martha these words, you remember he said, "Do you believe this?" And that's the question we have to just put before our hearts this morning. Now, we're all like Lazarus who had been dead. But I want to know if you're like Lazarus when he was made alive. Because you're going to relate to Lazarus one way or another, dead or alive. And the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And Ephesians chapter 2, you'll notice in verse 5, Ephesians 2, 5, as we're just following this little parallel, I hope you're still there, it says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." This came about when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. By His grace, through faith in Him, we've been made alive. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins, all has been paid for, and while the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad for life? You know, we've lost some dear friends and family, some who are the servants of the Lord during this COVID year, COVID season. The only comfort we can take is though that they're not here with us. They're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Our life has already begun, and stepping from this life into the next is just a step. For those who are in Christ are alive forevermore. So let me ask you, how do you relate to Lazarus? I hope not just part way, but in both ways, that though we were dead, now we're alive in Christ. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'll tell you, the Lord speaks to hearts, and it's better than any kind of outward show. And He can confirm with you, "Yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior," or "No, I know I need to do this." As the Lord speaks to your heart, don't put it off. None of us have the guarantee of another moment. And so we see Lazarus, who had been dead and then was made alive. Now don't close Ephesians. We've still got some more comparisons to make. Look, if you will, also in verse 2. Now we'll skip over that first part about Martha. Believe me, we'll come back to her in a moment. But at the end of verse 2, it speaks of Lazarus. It says, "But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table." Now just pause there for a moment and come over to Ephesians chapter 2 and down to verse 2. I'm sorry, I said verse 2. I believe I need to go to verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we're not only dead like Lazarus, we're alive like Lazarus. Now we're seated like Lazarus. And that table represents a lot to us, doesn't it? It represents the fellowship that's enjoyed around the table. Now that's the nice thing. Whenever you eat a meal together, and I believe that's why some of the Old Testament sacrifices, like the peace offering, they were to eat together. It represented the fellowship enjoyed around the table. Great the joy when Christians eat, meat. Christian fellowship, how sweet. There's something about being together around the table. And Lazarus, who had been dead, now made alive, now he was seated there at the table. And it says, again in chapter 12 of John, with him. Those last two words of verse 2. And you and I, we realize that our fellowship seated together with him in the heavenly places. Now John adds in his first epistle of John that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have that ongoing fellowship. And we see that it's shown in a wonderful, dramatic form in the life of Lazarus. We enjoy it as well. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you were to look around and see how different everybody is, you would think, when would these people ever be together? I'll tell you when. When we're in Christ. He makes the difference. He brings us together. Not only that we're going to spend eternity together, but we enjoy Christian fellowship here and now because of what Christ has done for us. And because of that, we're going to relate to Lazarus in a wonderful way. After he'd been raised from the dead, seated with the Lord at the table, he's enjoying fellowship together. Now, it's interesting because all Lazarus did to show that he was really alive is he didn't have anything to say about it. We don't read any recorded words of Lazarus in the Word of God. Nothing that he said. I'm not saying that he didn't talk, but I'll tell you what really made his case. He walked. When the Lord raised him from the dead, he said, "Loose him and let him go." And he began to walk, and people knew that he was really alive. Our walk as a believer in fellowship with God's people proves that we're alive, just like Lazarus. And so if you were to keep a little list of the things we learn from these different ones around the table, and you come to this first one, Lazarus, here's the lesson. Fellowship. Are you alive? Are you still dead? If you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, you might be able to have a good visit, but you can't have fellowship. But if you're alive again, we can enjoy the fellowship with God's people through his wonderful Son. Are you enjoying fellowship? Coming back to John chapter 12, you'll notice in verse 2, we read, "There they made him a supper." And you just take that first word and read "there," and you might say, "Where?" John doesn't help us in telling us where it was, except that it was at Bethany. You have to go over to the Gospel of Mark to find out where it was. It was there at the house of Simon the leper. There are a few Simons in the Bible. Simon says, "Come on over." And this Simon was Simon the leper. Now, we know Mary and Martha were in Bethany, but maybe their house wasn't quite big enough. I don't know. Or maybe because Simon had a reason to invite everyone over to his home, because though he was a leper, he must have been cured. How do I know that? Because the second word of verse 2, they. There, we know the place. That has to do with his house. Mark says it plainly in chapter 13. It was at Simon the leper's house. And I don't know why they still call him Simon the leper, because he couldn't have been leprous at that point. No one would have come. And that's why I know verse 2, the second word, they. If he hadn't been cleansed, they wouldn't be there. But there they were. they made him a supper. We learn a lot of lessons from lepers through the scriptures. You remember the leper that was outside the city when the Lord went passing by. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And the Lord said, "I'm willing." And he reached out and touched him and made him whole, made him clean. That leper teaches us about the will of God. And you remember the 9 out of 10 lepers that were unthankful? And the 1 out of the 10 turned back to give God thanks. And he fell down before him on his face, worshiped him. He teaches us about worship and being thankful. We learn a lot of lessons from lepers. We learn a lesson from Simon the leper as well. Not only using his house, his health, that he must have been cured, but the fact that he made him a supper. Now that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Out of his heart, he opened himself to invite the Lord in to enjoy fellowship again around the table. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And you just picture this wonderful expression of hospitality as Simon says, "Come and dine. Enjoy a meal together." And Simon, together with Martha and Mary, this must have been a supper just to express their gratitude for what God had done in raising Lazarus from the dead. And we also have a supper of remembrance for what he has done for us, where we come together and express our gratitude. And it's true, genuine hospitality. The Lord always becomes, if we invite him as the guest, he becomes the host. He gives thanks. And it's his body that was broken, we remembered this morning, and his blood that was shed, that we give him thanks for it. And Simon, well, he knew what hospitality was all about. If you open your heart to the Lord and open your home to him, he'll fill it with the enjoyment and the encouragement that we receive whenever we practice Christian hospitality. By the way, hospitality is not a spiritual gift. Wait a minute, you say, "I always heard it was in the spiritual gift list." No, you won't find it in the spiritual gift list. Hospitality is a command. Be hospitable. Romans says be driven or be given to hospitality. Whenever I think about that, I think about Sister Ruth down in the Spanish Wells Island in the Bahamas. While we were singing the wonder of it all, I was thinking about Brother Hubert Smith. When they went down to the Bahamas, Wilma went with them one time, those of you who remember Wilma. I said, how was it down in the Bahamas? She said, "You know, there's water all around that place." I said, "Well, that's why they call it an island. But with all the water around the place, there's some genuine, wonderful saints that love to practice hospitality." And Sister Ruth, she had Nancy and me over to practice her gift of hospitality. No, not a spiritual gift, but some are gifted at it and some are not gifted at it. But she practiced it like it was a real command. She was driven to hospitality. In fact, she fixed us such a big meal, she had 2 desserts. And Nancy said, "I won't have dessert. You can give mine direct." She said, "No, I fixed 2 desserts and you're going to eat it." And I said, "Yeah, that's being driven to hospitality, huh?" She took it serious. It was a command. "I'm going to get it done. And I made it and you're going to eat it." Simon the leper, he teaches us an important lesson. When our hearts are open to the Lord, we open our homes. I know there are some challenges these days, but there are ways, aren't there, that we can show hospitality and love in many different ways. Simon the leper, out of gratitude, he did this. Next we come in verse 2 in just the last few minutes. Verse 2, I'm going to just mention Martha. It just simply says, "And Martha served." Now you remember Martha so well, that's why I'm going to take the liberty to mention her briefly, because when we think about Martha, we think about Martha back in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, when she was encumbered about much serving. Really, she was beside herself. And when it was as busy as it could get, she looked in and she saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And there she was slaving away in the kitchen. And she became indignant. She went in and she said, "Lord, don't you care?" Now, when you start a sentence like that, you better back up a few steps, huh? "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" She was serving all right, but she was serving with an attitude. But here, she was serving again. And it doesn't say much about what they ate or how hard she had been working. I think she had learned the secret of Christian service. And it just simply says, "And Martha served." Before, she was serving with an attitude. Now she's serving with gratitude. Just makes it an easy way to remember it, doesn't it? You're not overwhelmed with much serving, but rather you count it a privilege and a pleasure. And He gives you the strength. His joy is our strength. What makes the difference in our service? Well, if you're doing it for people, you run out of steam. But if you do it as unto the Lord, do you know He says that even a cup of cold water given in my name, given in a disciple's name, will by no means lose its reward. Those who've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I believe Martha, she had learned the secret, serving. So we've got three lessons already for the new year of 2022. Lazarus, are you enjoying fellowship? Are you still like Lazarus in his first state, dead in trespasses? This would be a great day, the first Sunday of the year, to get saved. Huh? If you don't know the Lord, let's talk. The second lesson, all about hospitality. We've opened our hearts to the Lord. We open our homes to one another as well. And then, service. Serve the Lord. How? With gladness and gratitude. And we do everything we do as unto Him, and He'll be honored by it. I'm going to close this time with a little word of prayer. We got 30 minutes to eat. But if somebody had a question about how to be saved, let's sit down together. I'll open my Bible and I'll show you from the Bible, the Word of God, how you can know for sure that you're like Lazarus, alive forevermore. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank and praise You again for giving us Your Word. We pray that as we spend this time together in it, as well as our fellowship together with each other, enjoying some of the refreshments that You provide, we ask that You would bless that time for Your glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.